The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I am Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This week, we're continuing our interview with Glenda Testone. Glenda is the executive director of New York City's LGBT Community Center. She joined the center as its first female executive director in 2009.
Last week, Glenda told us about her wish to see women stand up for themselves and be kinder with their own body. This week, we asked her to talk more about her experience at the LGBT New York Center.
What do you think made you go for like gay organization at the very beginning as a cause?
Social justice, and you know, I really felt like I had always been someone who was drawn to activism from college on, and sort of like really wanted to. I feel pretty lucky in my life. You know, my parents are pretty supportive. I came from a good family. I have white privilege. I was always raised, and I believe that, like, you should give back, especially if you're in a position where you do have the security and the safety to do that. So I've always felt very strongly that that's what I wanted to do. So when I went to school, it was really studying social justice and activism, and LGBT equality was one of the places where it felt like, oh, this is really, we got to do something here. People are treated terribly. So that sort of led to my first job at GLAAD. I did that for 6 years and then left to go to an organization called the Women's Media Center, which was sort of trying to do the same thing for feminism in the media and really trying to get progressive women's voices into the media and help the media cover women in a better way. I did that for 3 years and then came to the center, the LGBT center here in New York City. And I've been here for 6.5 years as the executive director, and really happy to be here and really happy to be running such a great organization. It's a community organization, 33 years old, and I'm the first female executive director. And the organization's really great. We serve LGBTQ folks in New York City, and that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, everything under the umbrella, and our allies, the people that love us. But it's a center that's open 365 days a year, and we welcome about 6,000 people a week that come to visit us for health and wellness services or arts and culture offerings, support groups, just tons, hundreds, thousands, I'm not exaggerating, of different activities that happen at the center every year.
You said you were the first director, executive director, female woman at the center. What does that mean for you? Like, what changes do you think you're adding?
That's an interesting question. I think that people. I mean, I've certainly had women say to me, yay, you
know, finally,
we're so glad you're here. And there was a longstanding executive director at the center who happened to be a man who was a wonderful person, you know, and was there for a long time. So it wasn't like they kept passing over women to pick men. It was, but I feel really fortunate that I get to be in that role, and I feel a responsibility to, I feel a deep responsibility to make sure that women are represented and also to make sure that everybody in our community is represented, that especially the people that I don't represent. So, you know, people of color, gender, queer, and trans folks. I mean, I'm not a gay man. So really making sure that I'm in touch with, well, what is going on for gay men right now is really important. So I think I sort of see, you know, there are ways that I can tap in intuitively about, well, what might women in the community like, which I don't know entirely. I'm just one woman. Yeah. But I know something about. And then there are other areas where it's like I really have to reach out and listen to people and really hear what's going on and gather that information. And I care about that. I want to make sure that I'm doing that. You know, about a year ago, we launched a Women's Economic Opportunity Program, which is a program to help queer, lesbian, bi, trans women really expand their opportunities economically. So get a job or get a promotion or start a new career or start a new business. And we've had a couple of events around that to kick it off and connect women to each other. And there's such a tremendous hunger. Often in the LGBT community, if you have an LGBT event, the representation will be primarily men. Yeah. So, you know, we've noticed that a long time ago and started having a women's event. So there's always sort of the gala fundraising dinners in the LGBT community, which tend to be mostly men. And so we were like, we're going to have a women's dinner and it's going to be mostly women. And that's been really successful because it's sort of we're making an explicit statement and saying, okay, we are having an event for women. We want you to come, bring your friends. And it does wind up being, you know, 85 to 90% women. Whereas, the other events tend to be the opposite. Yeah. And so this program that we're delivering, I think it's just another opportunity to really say to women in our community, we want to hear from you. We're talking to you. Come on into the fold and let's have a discussion.
Either a day or a story you could share with us when you were so happy to be a woman or so proud to be a woman.
Yeah, I'm really happy to say that I feel that most days. I would say the vast majority of the time, I'm really happy to be a woman because, you know, I just feel like it's who I am. It's made me who I am. And it feels really positive. And when I see other strong women doing amazing things, that's like, you know, Hillary Clinton to Beyonce to, like, it could be anyone. It makes me really happy to be part of that club. I'm also really happy to be gay. You know, to be to be a lesbian woman, I feel like really great about, because there is, you know, there are those moments where I sort of see, I mean, I didn't come out until later in life. I didn't realize I was gay until I was about 27. So I was very much like living in, thinking I was a heterosexual person, living in a heterosexual world. And it feeling acutely vulnerable to some of the gender stereotypes and things. And it was hard. And, you know, I feel like some people would say, well, gosh, up until 27, you know, that's when men grow up and finally start acting right. And like you missed the window, you know, you dealt with all the crap. But I just think that, like, you know, my sister is straight and she'll share with me dating stories. And I'm just like, oh gosh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that. Because it just seems hard. And the way that we socialize men in this country is pretty awful. And, you know, straight men, perhaps especially. I mean, I think gay men are sort of like feel other from the beginning. But it's, I think it's really hard sometimes to kind of deal with that.
Coming out is never easy.
Understatement of the century.
Every time a new state recognizes gay marriage, you can read feature articles on popular media such as the New York Times, the Huffington Post, and Entertainment Weekly, all suggesting that being gay is not a big deal anymore and that gay celebrities no longer even need to come out.
Debatable. Remember when Ellen DeGeneres came out with this, and it was this huge deal, a media event of epic proportions with an enormous backlash? Well, it's true that times have changed. Celebrities such as Anderson Cooper, Apple CEO Tim Cook, Ellen Page, Jim Parsons, Ricky Martin were praised for coming out in a more casual way. But does that mean that it's easier to come out today than ever before?
Coming out to parents and family is a very difficult process.
And deeply personal.
Deeply personal, absolutely. In part, it is about you. You're sharing something very personal with people you love. This makes it a time when you could become closer and more attached, but it also carries the risk of rejection and pain. But coming out is also about others. This is a time when family and friends who have maybe seen the signs but ignored them might admit this to themselves.
Which leads to another question. Is coming out different for men than women? In an article in the LGBT Nation in 2013, they asked, are lesbians more accepted by society than gay men? And they suggested that if we live in a man's world, as the expression goes, lesbians seem to have an easier time of living in it than gay men do.
For instance, high-profile lesbian athletes have come out while still playing their sports, but it's almost non-existent on the men's side. While U.S. television's most prominent same-sex parents are the two fictional dads on Modern Family, surveys show that society is actually more comfortable with the idea of lesbians parenting children.
Curious. And even as society has become more accepting of homosexuality overall, longstanding research has shown that there is more societal tolerance for lesbians than gay men, and that gay men are significantly more likely to be targets of violence, apparently. Researcher Gregory Herrick, a psychologist at the University of California, found that it's often straight men who have the most difficult time with homosexuality, and particularly with gay men. You know, I kissed a girl, lesbian, sexy, you know, that's totally fine, but gay men, not so much. He noticed that men are raised to think that they have to prove their masculinity. And one big part about being masculine is being heterosexual. So we see that harassment, jokes, negative statements, and violence are more often ways that younger men try to prove their heterosexuality.
But that doesn't mean that hatred for lesbian doesn't exist.
Ain't that the truth?
For Laura Grimes, a licensed clinical social worker in Chicago who's counseling gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender clients, lesbian are so invisible in our society, and so the hatred is more invisible. She also frequently hears from lesbian who are harassed for, quote, looking like dykes, meaning that people are less accepting if they look more masculine. Let's hear what Glenda has to say about her own experience of coming out and what happened when she told her family.
You're going to make me blush. I was working for a gay organization. I was in a lesbian bar in Texas, Dallas, and I was up until that point, had a boyfriend, thought I was completely straight, and she hit on me. And I remember feeling very flattered and surprisingly interested. She was confident. I think it was the confidence that really pulled me in. They surprised me because I have a master's degree in women's studies. When I was in graduate school, I lived with a troupe of drag kings, and I had been around the lesbian community for years and was never interested in anyone in the community. So when this happened, I thought the question had already been settled for me, that I was a straight ally working for a gay organization. I was working for GLAAD at the time, and so it surprised me. And I went home and I called my sister and I said, this woman hit on me, and I don't know, I think I kind of liked it. And she was like, oh, it's no big deal. I've kissed lots of girls. Who cares? And she was straight also. So that was surprising, too. I didn't know that about her. And, you know, I remember at the time it was probably a little scary. And nothing happened that evening. But it got me thinking, and it got me thinking in a very different way. And it sounds cheesy, but I really started, I can remember driving down the street and envisioning my life completely differently, envisioning getting married, but to a woman, and envisioning having a life, but with a woman, and coming home to a woman. And I really, I don't know. It was like this door opened that hadn't been opened before. And I thought, that could be my life. And it seemed really exciting and really right. It just made sense. And then when I came out to my parents, I was very naive. And my parents are very liberal. My dad was retired as a school superintendent. And my mom was a social worker and worked at a Black community center up in Syracuse, and they were very liberal compared to every other, all of their friends, all of our neighbors. So I thought this would be a non-issue. And they had gay friends. You know, my mom was the person at work who would stand up for the gay guy. And I've never heard my dad tell an anti-gay joke or anything like that. And when I came out, I was very surprised because my mother had such a traditional reaction, and she's not a traditional person, which was like, oh my God, you're never going to have kids. You're never going to get a husband and you have this life. And, I was like, who are you? I've never heard you say things like this. And it took many years for her to eventually become okay with that. It was a process, and I didn't expect it to be, so that was surprising.
We're going to take a little break, and in the meantime, we'll leave you with one of Glenda's power songs, Kenny Rogers' The Gambler. Let's hear why.
I was trying to think of, the earliest song I could think of, and I guess it's interesting because the earliest song that came to mind for me is Kenny Rogers' The Gambler. And the reason is I used to, for whatever reason, I think my mom liked him, and so we would listen to that song and I learned the words, and then I would perform for my family The Gambler at family gatherings. And I think so it wasn't so much the song and the lyrics, but it was realizing that I really liked making people smile and making people laugh and performing.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns staring at the darkness at the window till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, son, I've made my life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. And if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle and I drank down my last swallow. Then he bombed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Now every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away,
Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out his cigarette, faded off to sleep. Then somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
You're listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn.
When we left off, Glenda was sharing her story of how she came out to her parents and how they reacted. Now let's hear what she thinks about feminism.
What for you, what is your definition of feminism?
So for me, feminism is the belief that people should not be treated differently based on their gender, that people should be treated equally and have equal opportunities. And so I've believed that for a really long time, and I was fortunate to work directly with Gloria Steinem for about 3 years at the Women's Media Center. And, you know, she's just an incredible person and sort of embodies... I like to believe that you can be nice and fierce at the same time. And I think she does that in such a gentle way. But then to look back at, you know, clearly because a lot has been written about her and movies and things like that. And, she's also incredibly fierce. So I think when I think about feminism, she's one of the people I think about. But it's really, to me, it's about that equality, and it's about women supporting each other.
If there was a woman you would like to say thank you to, mm-hmm. who would that be?
I'd love to say thank you to my sister. She's my younger sister, and so I'm the older sister, so I'm supposed to be older and wiser. But she really was the first person to teach me that there were different ways to be. And, you know, I followed all the rules that I didn't even know I was following them. And she broke the rules, and she was a bit of a rebel when we were growing up. And I had a hard time with that. I did not react well to it. But it really taught me that there are different ways to be. And you should take a look at the rules and see if you want to follow them. And maybe sometimes you don't. And that was eye-opening. So I think she's a really strong person. And I'd love to thank her for somehow finding that in herself and hanging on to that.
So this is the tradition on the show, is to nominate the next person that you think would be great to take this interview.
Sure. I would love to hear an interview with my friend Kara Page. She is the executive director of the Audre Lorde Project, and she is a kick-ass woman activist.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I hope
no problem.
Was not too
successful. No, it's great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. Our question to you this week, do you have a coming out story that you would like to share?
You can answer us, like us, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Womanity Project. You can support us and sponsor us on our page, radiofreebrooklyn.com/show/the-womanity-project. Special thanks to Glenda Testone, Mary Steyer, Lizzie Hagstedt, and of course, Radio Free Brooklyn. And dear listeners, we are airing one of your requested power songs to close out our show. This song was submitted by Melissa Pinsley, Alaska, by Mary Rogers.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project, on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Au revoir tout le monde, à la semaine prochaine.
Bye-bye.